Meatball Sunday. Yeah. Yes. So in a few minutes, we're going to connect. Well, we're going to actually give a video presentation that about 2,000 other churches across the country are viewing. So it's going to be awesome what we're going to see in here. So I got to ask you, though, as we get into this, how many of you are New England Patriot fans? Woo! Yeah! We got one? Oh, man. I'm not even going to go. We got two, maybe, on behalf of your wife. Okay, New England. Woo! Yes. How many of you are Philadelphia Eagle fans today? Yeah. Woo! All right, yeah. What did I say? Look at the colors. Woo! Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, either way, you know, we're, our primary focus is not about football. It's about Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, who cares? I don't know. We're going to watch. Who's going to watch the game today? Yeah, I think a lot of us are going to watch. How many are eating buffalo wings today? Yeah, well, about 1.2 billion pounds are going to be consumed, I was told. So that's across the country. So I don't know either. I don't know who to really to go for because I tell you what, New England Patriots, you know, we've seen them there quite a bit. But I tell you, there's a wide receiver on that team, Brandon Cooks, went to Oregon State. Where are we from? Corvallis. So I'm thinking, all right, let's go Cooks. But then on the other side, Philadelphia Eagles, number 73, offensive line got hurt. Maybe playing today, don't know. Isaac Seumalo was our next-door neighbor in Corvallis. So we're going to be going for that guy, too. So I don't know who to root for. So that's why I'm wearing my Raiders. Just representing. So, hey, for those of us that have been here for a while, we're going through a series called Together. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians. So we've been studying about a church living in a very affluent community, which was big on sport back 2,000 years ago. And it's kind of funny, as I looked at where we would be today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm thinking Paul could have written that today. If he would have written it today, he would have used a sports analogy. And so I'm just going to unpack this real fast because we got about, they're going to do the countdown video here in about 10 minutes, all right? So I got about 10 minutes to unpack this, and then we're going to roll the countdown video, which will give you guys about 5 minutes to say hi, and then we're into football Sunday, all right? We good?
Yeah.
So if you have your program, pull it out. There's notes in there. I already filled in the answers for you. Pretty simple, right? So you can follow along. But real fast, if we look at this, the sports analogy, if we're looking at what Paul's writing to this church in Corinth, the first thing he's telling this team, this church, is number one in your notes. We can go ahead and put it up there, James, is that he's going to say that church is a team sport. Church is a team sport. In fact, in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3, he says this. Read it with me. I don't have my screen with me right now, but it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Think about that. Look around. In our midst. God's Spirit is in our midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You together, all of us coming together, we are the temple of God. Now listen, the temple is that place where heaven would touch earth. And now Paul says, it's not just a location you go to, it's a people that are bound together by the Holy Spirit, and you become that temple together. It's a team. It's not individual. And that's why he's so adamant as he's building and he's talking to this church in Corinth. It's like, man, divisions and arguing and fighting have no place on the team. It destroys the team. This is a team sport. Let's get on the team. I mean, think about the analogy biblically. God saw us, and he saw us at our worst, and we were playing for the wrong team. We were playing, there's only two teams in the Bible, right? There's the kingdom of God, there's the team that plays for Jesus, and then there's the team of the world. And he says, you were playing for the team of the world. And God saw that. And he loved you. And he redeemed you. He bought your contract. And he called you and covered you with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And he places you on his team. And he fills you with his Spirit. And he says, you've got to remember this. What we do, it's about team. The biblical stuff is temple and family. But it's team today. Church is a team sport. Second thing he says is this. God's Spirit reveals God's playbook. God's Spirit reveals God's playbook. You know what a playbook is, right? Every team has their playbook, and it's so amazing when you know that playbook. And this is what makes the New England Patriots so formidable, right? you got a master as a quarterback in Tom Brady with a great coach, and they know that playbook. And they're able to dissect their opponent or the enemy and get down and score. Whether you like him or not, it's like, oh, it is beautiful to watch at times. And God wants to reveal his playbook to each one of us. So Paul says this. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by whom? The Spirit, as people who are still what?
Worldly.
Listen, as worldly, mere infants in Christ, if you've come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're on the team. Problem is, some of you haven't grown up, and you're still acting like you're on the old team. So he says you're acting worldly, like mere infants in Christ. And I couldn't talk to you as people who are being controlled by the Spirit. If you're here last week, the Spirit of God, we learned in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16, takes the mind of God and makes it known to your mind. And he does it through the written word of God. You know this book. The Holy Spirit will take this book, interpret this book, and apply it to your life. Wouldn't it be great to know in every situation that you're facing as you're going down the field of life that there is a play that can be called for your specific situation? Wouldn't that be great to know? The Bible says that's true. And God is the one, through his Holy Spirit, will call the play. If you're listening, I mean, you look at the quarterbacks, and if the crowd noise gets loud, what are they doing, right? They're doing this on their helmet. Why? They're trying to hear the coach, right? The coach is talking into his ear. It's like the Holy Spirit. This is the play. This is what we're going to do. God's Spirit reveals the Word of God to you. This is what Paul's telling us. This is a sports analogy. I'm thinking, Paul, you're a football fan. You didn't even know it. third thing he says, God's full playbook is for veterans, not rookies. Some of you are like, well, how come I'm not having success in my life? Because you're playing like a rookie. God's full playbook is for veterans. Let's read what Paul says. He says this, I gave you what?
Milk,
not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. And how does he know that you're worldly and still an infant and playing like a rookie? Because there's jealousy and quarreling among you. Are you not worldly? Man, when you were part of the world's team, it was all about, woo, woo, yeah, look at me, woohoo, right? It was all this. Now you're on Christ's team. It's like, there's no place for that on this team. There's no grandstanding. It's all about team. It's us coming together and working with a common purpose and a common goal, heading the same direction. But I see the quarreling among you. And I would love to be able to give you the full playbook. But you're too busy, stuck in an old system. Man, the full playbook is for those who have been through the battle, who have learned to trust it, have learned to trust to their head coach, and respond in obedience. And Paul's like, I'd love to be able to give it to you. He says, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You know, aren't you just acting like a baby? One says, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. When you say that, aren't you just acting like a mere human? You're acting like that old worldly system. I mean, think about how selfish we were, right? How many of you remember when you had little kids, little itty-bitty kids, like young, and they just started to talk? What, even by their words, but their actions. What did they say right up? It was always, no, or mine, right? Mine, no. I'm just like, really? How many of us, though, if that doesn't get changed, it carries on into adulthood. And that no and that mine begins to destroy families, marriages, friendships, right? We really got to get this fixed. We need to go to counseling. No! We really should forgive this individual and begin to display the Spirit of Christ. No! You know what? God's blessed us, but there's a family we know, and maybe we should help them. No! Mine! Right? You see how this works out? And Paul's like, man, if you're doing that, you're a rookie. You don't understand the full playbook, what God's wanting to give us. So God wants to give us the full playbook. Let's go to the next one. Church leaders, when you look at us, you know what we are? We're just position coaches. That's what we are. When you look at sports, it's amazing. You got the head coach. We all look at Bill Belichick, and we're like, oh, man. But he has an incredible coaching staff. And you got offensive coaches, defensive coaches, special team coaches. Within offensive coach, you got offensive line coach. You got the quarterback coach. You got the running back coach, right? Defense, you got the defensive line coach. You got the linebacker coach. You got the secondary coach. You got all these coaches. You got strength and conditioning coaches. I mean, you got nutrition coaches. I mean, you got coaches for every position and everything in your life. And when it comes to the church, That's the leadership. We're here to help you in that position. We're here to help you grow. And so as a pastor, I have a certain responsibility as position. The elders have certain responsibilities. Worship leaders have certain responsibilities. Children's ministry director, student ministry director, mission coordinators, we all have different responsibilities, but our whole purpose is to develop you. We're position coaches. Don't be getting into, hey, I follow. No, he says. We're all on the same team under Jesus Christ. In fact, let's read the passage. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul?
Only servants.
They're just the coaches through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each his task. Paul says, I planted the seed. I started this thing. Apollos watered it. You know, I was the church planner. Apollos was the teacher, came along. But God's the one who brings it all together. It's for his glory. Keep going. Next verse. So neither the one who plants, that's me, Paul says, or the one who waters, that's Apollos, but only God makes things grow. That's the only one that matters. The one who plants and the one who waters, we just have one purpose. We're together. We're position coaches. We're trying to make you more effective for life in the kingdom. And they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we're just co-workers with God. In God's service. You're the field. You're the building. You're the temple. You're the team. We're here to help coach and bring that up. Next one, real fast. As a team, I don't want to be disrespectful. So, Lord, forgive me. As a team, we support a franchise player. A franchise player, you ever heard that term before? Franchise player, right? They're the team, the person that you put that tag on and say, we're building our whole team around this individual. They have maturity, they have ability, they have experience, they have leadership ability. We're putting the franchise tag. Our whole franchise is going to be built on this person and around this person. Who is that in the church? It's Jesus Christ. And as a team, everything we do is about Jesus Christ. Paul says this, by the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder and someone else is building on it, but each one should be building with care. Why? For no one can lay any foundation other than one that was already laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything we do. His message, his gospel is the foundation of everything we do. That God loves us so much that he sent himself into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin birth, lived a sinless life, crucified on a cross for our sins, was buried, and then on the third day defeated death, and now is out victorious, and he gives us his spirit so that we can live in this powerful new life. Jesus is our foundation. And everything that we're doing, Paul said, we're just building on that foundation. And it's interesting, the wise builder, the Greek word is architekton. You ever heard that word before? Sounds like what?
Architect.
I'm just working as an architect. I see the plan, I see the image, and I'm trying to create this on this foundation. And that's all, and I've got it in place, and then now the next guy comes. And we just continue to build this program. And we're going to be successful for all eternity. This is what he's talking about. We're position coaches, and we're supporting the franchise player. We're supporting Jesus Christ. Everything we do is connected to Jesus, Paul says. Let's keep going. Here's the last one. Oh, I can get this in. Yes, our performance reveals our preparation. The way you live your life, it is actually going to reveal the work and the preparation you put into your life. Paul says this real fast. He says this, if anyone builds on this foundation of Jesus Christ, right, using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Why? Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. The day, today, right, on Super Bowl Sunday, you watch the game, and often the victory goes to the team who is best prepared, most ready for the game. And during the heat of battle, their preparation will be made manifest. And the team that takes shortcuts, that doesn't show up and put time in the film room, who doesn't hit the weights, who aren't running their plays in execution, it's going to be exposed in the heat of competition. Right? Same thing spiritually. But Paul is saying that we're not just talking about a sports game. There is a day, and that day, the Bible talks about, is the day of judgment where Jesus comes back. And everything that we've done in life to build this foundation is going to be exposed. If you're taking shortcuts, it's going to be made known. And what's going to be the effect of this? Let's keep going. If what has been built does what?
Survives
the builder will receive a what? a reward. So today, the champion is going to get the Lombardi trophy, right? And the confetti is going to fly, and there's going to be, woohoo, I'm going to Disneyland, right? Got my reward. Woo, we're great. Same thing. You build, and you show up, and it's tested by fire, and it passes. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on into this inheritance. Here's your reward. Yes. But for those of us who take shortcuts, if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but they're going to be saved. You're not going to be kicked off the team, right? You're not going to hell or whatever. You're not kicked off the team. Even though only one, you're going to make it through, but only as one escaping through the flame. So when you get to stand before the Lord, it's like, woo, you smell a little singed. Smell a little smoky. Yeah, it's like, and the whole point here is that when you're standing before Christ, right, if you've taken the shortcuts, there's going to be there's going to be people who are going to receive those rewards and going to hear, well done. And there's going to be those that are there, and they're going to see the confetti, and they're going to hear the celebration, but you're not going to receive that, well done, here's a crown. And Paul's like, why would you do that? Why would you want to just skate by? Church, we're a team. We're working together. God's placed position coaches, and we do it in the honor and the name of Jesus Christ. And there's a reward. Let's play like that. Your performance is going to reveal your preparation. Woo! So the question for you this morning as we get into this is, are you on God's team? Have you surrendered and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And with what are you building? How are you building your life? Is it with costly stones, or is it with wood, hay, or stubble? Just throwing those questions out, all right?